Dear Venerable Brothers, Dharma friends, so we are gathering here to start the English Dhamma discussion basically on when Bhante Dhamma Jiva is away. So we are conducting English Dhamma discussion on Thursday, and nowadays actually we are discussing Parayana Vagga, where series of Brahmin youths come and meet the Buddha, and they are asking various questions using their mind, and Buddha is answering the questions through words. So they are all what we call students of one Brahmin called Bhavari. So Bhavari is the teacher, and from him there are various other students. Actually 16 main students are there. Under them there are 500 students. It's a huge gathering. They all are living in Dakshinagiri, and when this Bhavari has to go through certain panic situation, that is, some other Brahmin made a curse, and he was sort of afraid of that, and as a result of that, now he is sending his students asking various questions. Now we are going through that one after the other. We already went through Ajita Sutta, Tissametteya Sutta, and Punnaka Sutta. We all completed that last time. And now we have to go through the other Sutta, that is Mettagu Sutta. So Mettagu is another Brahmin youth who came with this whole group. And now he is presenting his question. So let me first recite in the Pali. Pucchamitam Bhagava Bruhi Metang Manyamitang Vedagung Bhavitattang Kutonu Dukha Samudagata Ime Yekechi Lokasving Aneka Rupa Pucchamitam Bhagava Bruhimetang Manyamitang Vedagung Bhavitattang Kutonu Dukha Samudagata Ime Yekechi Lokasving Aneka Rupa. So this is a question asked by Venerable Mettagu, and maybe our Venerable Dhamma Vijita can do the recite the English translation. Venerable Dhamma Alankara can recite the Sinhala translation.
Yes, Bhante, I'll make a correction from last week. We read some of a different translation, and what it is, it last week it was Jnana Deepa Mahatera. I had said that it was Jnana Moli, but so I'm going to read Jnana Deepa, his translation. I ask you, O Blessed One, do tell me this, for I think you are perfect in knowledge and well cultivated. From where have these sufferings sprung, whatever there are of various types in the world?
Right, probably you can do the Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation as well.
Yes, in the Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation, I asked you...
Page number?
So this is 331 in the Bhikkhu Bodhi translation, and the set of verses is Mettagumanavapuccha.
Right.
And
the question by the youth, Mettagu.
Yes. And... this is, so his Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation is, I ask you a question, Blessed One, please tell me this. I consider you a Veda master, one inwardly developed. From where have these sufferings arisen in their many forms in the world?
Right. So maybe the Sinhala translation?
Oh, that's right, Swami Nasa. Mettagu Manava Puccha. Aishmat Mettagu Mese Pilivit. භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්ස නුඹ වහන්සේ තෙල කරුණ පුළුස්මි වදාළ මැනව මුඹ වහන්සේ ඥානවේදයාගේ පරතරට පැමිණි කෙනෙකුන් කොට වැඩූ සිත් ඇති කෙනෙකුන් කොට හඟිමි ලෝකයෙහි අනේක ස්වභාව වූ යම්කිසි දුක් කෙනෙක් වෙද්ද මේ දුක්ඛයෝ කොයින් උපන්නාහුද?
Right. So basically he's asking a question related to the suffering. So before he asked the question, he basically appreciated the Buddha. So sort of he recognized Buddha as a Vedagu. Vedagu is the one who come to the end of the knowledge, who has become the omniscient, basically has gone through the whole knowledge, a knowledgeable one. And then Bhavitattang, so all the faculties are well developed. And that is what I consider as you, that he is telling that Manyami, so he knows or he consider Buddha as like this. And then Kutonu Dukkha Samudagata Ime, so how the suffering going to arise in this Yekechi Lokasming Aneka Rupa, in this whole world, in different forms of suffering are available. So please let me know how this suffering has arisen. So this is the question asked by Brahmin youth Mettagu. Now Buddha answers that telling like this. Dukkasave mam pabhavang apuchasi tangte pavakhami yatha pajanam. Upadhi nidana pabhavanti dukkha yekechi lokasming aneka rupa. Dukkasave mam pabhavang apuchasi tangte pavakhami yatha pajanam. Upadhi nidana pabhavanti dukkha yekechi lokasming aneka rupa. So we'll see the Sinhala and English translations. Yeah.
This is the Bhikkhu Bodhi translation. You have asked me about the origin of suffering. As one who understands, I will tell you this. Sufferings, in their many forms in the world, originate based on acquisition. And the word acquisition is translated as appropriation by Nanadipa. So I'll read that once more. You have asked me about the origin of suffering. As one who understands, I will tell you this. Sufferings in their many forms in the world originate based on acquisition or appropriation.
Bhagyavatun vahanse mise vadalah mettagu manava yani idinto jatyadi dukata karaneya vicharahinam eya pasak kota datuvaku sein topata pavasamha ලෝකේහි අනේක ස්වරූප වූ යම් දුක්ඛයෝ වෙත්නම් ඒ හැම දුක්ඛයෝ තෘෂ්ණාදී උපදි හේතුයෙන් උපදනාහ.
Right. So upadhi, this is a very interesting term called upadhi. So now Buddha is giving upadhi as the cause of suffering. Upadhi nidana pabhavanti dukkha yekechi lokasmin aneka rupa. So there, let me connect this with some other sutta, which is Dvaitanupassana Sutta in the Mahavagga of the same Sutta Nipata. So there also the same verse is highlighted. Upadhi nidana pabhavanti dukkha yekechi lokasmin aneka rupa. Yove avidva upadhin karoti punappunan dukkhan upeti mandu. Now this is available in the Dvaitanupassana Sutta, Sutta Nipata. And they are the same verse, but added another little few more sentences. Upadinidana pabhavanti dukkha. So whatever the suffering arises, all happens because of acquisitions. And those are different forms. And yove avidva upadin karoti. Now these people don't know, and the worlding doesn't know about that. He is unaware of that. So what he does, basically upadin karoti. He more and more acquire various things. Punappunan dukkhan upeti mando. So this foolish person, as a result of that, again and again get into suffering. Now, so what is upadhi? So there are different kinds of upadhi mentioned in the Dhamma, different forms of upadhi, different forms of acquisitions. One is the khandu upadhi, the other one kilesu upadhi, then abhisankhara upadhi, and then panchakama upadhi. So these are the four different kinds of upadhis mentioned in the Dhamma, in the according to the commentary. So say khandu upadhi. So you know that there are five khandas: rupa khanda, vedana khanda, sanya, sankhara, vijnana. So what happens is that we basically attach to our body. So then we consider this body as something belong to me. And as a result of that, I can create a certain amount of conceit using this. And I am using this body to sort of represent myself. It's what commonly happened. I mean, that's why we have a passport. That's why we have a national identity card. That's why we have a photo, photographs, everything. Because we recognize, we identify, okay, this body represents me, myself. Isn't it? So this body. So the body is very important thing. And basically, that is why we are keeping our all the past events, various photographs, various memories, all taken into the photos, and then we are hanging in our, you know, walls, in our rooms, maybe our graduation photo, maybe our wedding photo. So all that we maintain, because this body belongs to us and this body represents myself. So this is the typical understanding. So therefore, body is a acquisition, saupadi. So basically, we acquire body, we think this body belongs to me, it represents me, and therefore, when this body is very beautiful and strong, and that is quite easy for me to tell, okay, this is I am. So look at this photo, so you can see how beautiful I am. So likewise, we can simply say, because the body is very, very beautiful, very strong, but unfortunately, it starts decaying, going through various suffering and various illnesses, again and again afflicted, and ultimately it suffers and ultimately die. So then we have to leave the body, but unfortunately we don't know how to leave the body, and we basically are so attached to the body. So as a result of that, we are going to suffer, because body is not something constant, body is not something unchanged. It's going through the change again and again. Ultimately, we can't bear that change and we suffer. We are maintaining some sort of a friction about that change. We can't admit that body is impermanent. So basically, this when we recognize, identify the body as myself, then we are going to suffer. On the other hand, various feelings are there, say pleasurable feelings, painful feelings, equanimous feelings. And sometimes we consider the feelings are myself. So I am doing well. So I am going through some pleasurable feelings. Okay, someone is with me, maybe, and I am feeling comfortable and I am feeling satisfied, I am feeling happy. Then I consider, okay, I am happy. So I am happy. Basically, simply say, so that's, this happiness is I. So this I am identifying happiness as myself. I am happy. So I want to be happy. Don't you want to be happy? Yes. I want to be happy. So everybody want to be happy. So basically this happiness is something that we can have a kind of a relationship, kind of an association. And we consider, okay, happiness is what I am, basically. Or the opposite, the suffering is what I am. So I am not well, I am worried, I am unhappy, I am frustrated. I am in utter despair. So likewise we represent. So when we are using that vocabulary, what we really mean is that the feeling is something now I am going through, which belongs to me, or it is directly myself, and I am not well. So we acquire feeling as something belong to me, or basically the feeling as myself. Ultimately, we suffer because feeling can't remain as it is. The pleasurable feelings can't remain as it is. So they are going to change something, something otherwise. So once it changed to something else, then we suffer, because that is not what I expected. I expected a continuous happiness, but it changed. Then the other hand, say we have various titles, designations, names. So many things are there. Those are the labels. So I am so and so. I am a monk. I am a Upasampada monk. I am a cricketer, or I am a president. I am so and so. And this is my degrees. You can see my qualifications. See my education. See the honorific titles what I have acquired. So the acquired titles. All are acquired knowledge, acquired titles, acquired names, labels, designations. All acquired things. So we consider that also as myself. It represents myself. And using that, we can create a huge ego. You know, the personality. So we are building a personality using all this. So various titles, various degrees, and many different titles, maybe very different designations, maybe honorific titles. All are helpful to build a person. So we all recognize ourselves as an individual, not a typical common individual, but a very special individual. Among the crowd, I am a very special individual. So this is what we want to be, isn't it? I mean, I don't want to be a commoner. Rather, I want to be a special person, a VIP. So that is how basically the mentality we all have. So I want to be a special person. So in order to become that special person, I acquire various designations, various names, various titles, maybe a lot of superficial knowledge with that subject, this subject. So I remember all that, all the coming as the sanya, various perceptions, a lot of marks. And that basically is something again we acquire, and we use that also to build an ego. So, but ultimately that also going to be changed, completely cease, and we suffer. So once we lose it, and once we lose our title, once we lose our designation, once some sort of ill fame comes, because if we build up using our title, our reputation, using certain things, so ultimately we can suffer, because those are acquired things. Those are not real things. Those are not permanent things. So once we are dependent on that, then ultimately we are going to suffer. On the other hand, there are various, volitional activities, maybe bodily activities, verbal activities, mental activities. So we think and we do. So I am the one who did it. Say you have written a book. So you are putting your name there. Okay, you are sent to say, oh, this is my book. So this is a kind of a project that you have done. I mean, through your lot of mental involvement and physical involvement. So you have compiled a book. And you have published a book, and this is something that you consider, oh, this is my book. So in order to represent yourself, you are ready to use this to highlight yourself, to boost the ego. That can be done. Or else, say you are creating something, maybe you are a director of a film industry. So you are creating a film, you are compiling a film. Maybe that also. Then you are the director, you are someone, you are the producer, you have done something, and again and again you can recall about it, and you can create, oh, this is the, I am the one who did it, I am the one who did it, how well it went through, how people appreciated that. So all that, so whatever we do, so we can use in order to boost our ego. Now all our skills, so those are the areas that we can consider. Say people have different skills. Say you can sing beautifully, or you can play a guitar beautifully. Isn't it? So then I mean that skill can be used to represent myself. Definitely, yeah. So we are representing myself using that skill. So I mean that is what we may put into our curriculum vitae, and then we are showing ourselves as someone special, and they start appreciating that. They start, rewarding us. And then we being boosted, I mean, so they give a, what's that, Oscar or something. So everybody is clapping, and I am going to the stage, and they are giving it, and you know, blah, blah, blah. Huge, huge boost happens. So that is what we acquire. So all our skills, all our creations, all our manufactured, whatever the things, so ultimately helpful build a person. So we are building a person. So that is what the whole world is accepting. So they all simply say, okay, you are an individual, you are a person, you are a special person. This is your contact number, this is your telephone number, this is your email address, this is your passport number. So you are a unique person. Personality is boosted by all the different many ways. So this is the typical truth, typical conventional way that the whole world is functioning. So it basically confirms the availability of a self. And there are many, many coordinates, there are many, many attributes in order to help to maintain that created self. It's a basically a created self. It's not a real self. But rather, using all these acquisitions, we create a self. So the self is maintained by all these different attributes. But all these attributes are well dependent. That's a problem. Say, all the reputation, all our tasks, maybe our skills, all are very, very impermanent. Suppose that you are a person who can sing beautifully. Can you say your voice is permanent? I heard that certain singers are getting an insurance for their voice. I don't know how it is. But some are doing it. Because that, I mean, that is what they want. No? So, I mean, like taking a life insurance, they take a insurance for the vocal, the voice. Vocal cord, yes. So in case some damage happens, so what's going to happen? I mean, they lose their next show, then at least they can claim from the insurance corporation. So likewise, so I assume that you are being rewarded as the very beautiful woman in the competition. But that beauty won't last for a long time. I mean, say once that lady get married and say several kids comes out, then slowly, 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 she decays. All the beauty gone. Very short-lived. But at that moment, no, I'm the beautiful, I mean, I'm the beauty queen. I'm the Miss World or that world, whatever. So likewise, so all these appearances, so all our creations, all our skills can be used to prepare a self, maintain a self, create a self. But constantly we have to do that. That's the problem. You know that yesterday, assume that you have boosted yourself and you become a really marvelous person and everybody appreciated you. Can you maintain that very figure today? Very difficult. Maybe you have done a mistake today. They start criticizing you. All your boosted ego now being, you know, come to a threat, then you start suffering. Then you are trying your best to again rebuild the self. So we are trying to maintain a self, create a self, and so that ultimately become a huge amount of suffering. So that's why Buddha here mentioned yoche avidva upadhin karoti. So they don't know the reality of about these acquisitions, the upadhis. So they again and again acquire more and more things. There is no limit. There is no limit. They acquire more and more things. Suppose that one has a child. He now want to boost himself using the child even. Say, my child is the best child. He is the one who won the race or who won the first prize in the prize giving session or who did the exam really well. And he became the island rank, first in the island rank. So likewise, I mean, people, the parents, they boost themselves using their children. So likewise, so all the belongings we can use to create a self, boost our self ego. And the other thing is our senses, the vijnanakhanda. So when we see something, so we become a seer. So I am the one who seen. You didn't see it. I am the one who saw it. See, I am the one who saw it. So likewise, I am the seeing can be considered as something that to boost a person. A seeing, maybe the listening. So you are a listener. So then at that moment you are making a self using that listening activity. So this all, say seeing, listening, smelling, tasting, touching, and cognizing. All can be used to create a self. So we are simply using our senses, but unfortunately we are using that activity to make a self. So the vijnana khanda also same. And again the kilesa upadhi is where different kinds of defilements are there. So say you are angry. Don't make me angry. Don't make me angry. So then you know anger is something that you are using as to boost myself. So you are a person who can get angry. So don't make you angry. So likewise, you know. So this defilements also can be used to make a self. And the panchakama upadhi means that different sense objects. Say you are acquiring a lot of beautiful things. Say you have a collection of beautiful things, collection of cars, collection of whatever beautiful scenery, so whatever thing. Then you can even ask others to come and see your collection. See what a beautiful artwork I have prepared. I mean, this belongs to this era, this belongs to this era. So you don't have that, no? Don't you? You know that, assume that someone is collecting some very beautiful artwork coming from many different years. He go to the auctions and he acquire very beautiful things. And then probably he is the one who is having a huge collection now. And maybe he can start a show and he can ask someone else also to come and see what a beautiful collection, a rare collection he has. So that also can be used to boost himself. Then sounds, say you have a beautiful music collection. Different kinds of songs, maybe old collections and different kinds of collection. Then you are the ones on of that sounds, the music, whatever. And similar, the smells, taste, touching. So those are the typical five sense chords. And when people acquire that, say they have several houses or several cars, vehicles. So likewise, many things are there. All what they have acquired can be used to boost their ego. Simple as that. So this is how the upadhi are coming to the picture. Upadhi means these all acquisitions, all acquired things. Whatever we acquire, either it may be tangible or intangible, all can be used to boost ourselves. But Buddha says, upadhi nidana pabhavanti dukkha. So upadhis, acquired things, are a source of suffering. Yoche avidva upadhin karoti. But the foolish person don't understand that. So he continuously acquire things, continuously possess things, continuously think, oh, this belongs to me, this is my skill, that's in this thing. So in this, Metta Gosutta, Buddha mentioned, dukkhasave mam pabhavang apuchasi tangve pabakkhami yatha pajanang. So I know the exact reason of the suffering. I am now going to tell it. What it is? Upadhi nidana pabhavanti dukkha. So upadhis, acquired things, are the reason or the cause of suffering. Yekechi lokasming anekarupa. So people acquire many things, many different things, the whole world. And that's what people are doing. Now the second verse actually available in this sutta as well. What I have already mentioned some part. The Dvaitanupassana sutta. So the whole thing is available in this sutta as well. Yove avidva upadhin karoti. Punapunan dukkhaṁ upeti mando. Without knowing this fact, this bitter truth, people continuously acquire things. They continuously create acquisitions. As a result of that, again and again they get into suffering. Tasmahi janam upadhin na kaira dukkhasya jati pabhavanu passi. Now knowing this, the wise person do not acquire things in order to create a self. So let's Venerable Dhammavijita can recite both verses together, the previous one and this one together, then they are well coupled. Buddha's answer.
Yes, Bhante, you have asked me about the origin of suffering. As one who understands, I will tell you this. Suffering, in their many forms in the world, originate based on acquisition. And then the second verse, the ignorant dullard who creates acquisition encounters suffering again and again. The ignorant dullard who creates acquisition encounters suffering again and again. Therefore, understanding, one should not create acquisition, contemplating it as the genesis and origin of suffering.
Maybe the single level. දෙකම කියන්න එකට
අස්රසයන භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ මෙසේ වදාළහ මෙත්තගු මානවකේනි හිතින්තෝ ජාත්‍යාදී දොකට කාරණය විචාරහිනම් එය පසක් කොට දතුයෙකු සෙයින් තොපට පවසම්හ ලෝකයෙහි අනේක ස්වරූප වූ යම් දුක්ඛයෝ වෙත්නම් ඒ හැම දුක්ඛයෝ තෘෂ්ණාදී උපදි හේතුවෙන් උපදනාහ අපණ්ඩිත වූ යමෙක් තෘෂ්ණාදී උපදිය කෙරේද මන්ද ප්‍රඥා වූ හෙතෙම පුනපුනා සසර දුකට පැමිණෙයි. එහයින් සංස්කාරයන් අනිත්‍යාදී විසින් දන්නේ සංසාර දුක්ඛය ජාතිය ප්‍රභව කොට ඇතැයි දක්නේ තෘෂ්ණාදී උපදිය නොකරන්නේයි.
So the wise person who understand this, so he understand, okay, I have created all this suffering because I have acquired things. I assume that all this belong to me. I used all this to boost a self kind of a suffering, ultimately. It's a kind of a self-created suffering. And now he starts slowly abandoning things. And rather than acquiring things, he may have certain things, but that also he is not mentally sort of hung up with or mentally hold on to. So he can maintain a mentality without holding to anything. Something like that. Even though, assume that he has a vehicle or he has a house. How about maintaining a mind without thinking about it? Isn't it? Without imagining about it, without thinking about it, and maintaining a very relaxed, unattached mind. So in the ultimate sense, if you can relinquish everything, that's one thing, that's the perfect. Like the monks, nuns, so who have relinquished things. But on the other hand, in terms of the lay people, now they may have to have something, maybe the house, vehicle, whatever occupation. But time to time at least, if we can maintain a mind which is free, not thinking about any of these acquisitions, having a very relaxed mind, a simple mind, unattached mind, unburdened mind, then they start tasting this freedom. So I don't need to worry about all this. I don't need to worry about the house. I don't need to worry about the vehicle. I don't need to worry about the wife. I don't need to worry about the children. So, at least time to time one has keep that whole burden aside and realize or enjoy that freedom of mind. So that is where one can understand, okay, all these acquisitions have made me a real burden. So when I have relinquished that, so I have a real satisfaction or kind of lightness in the mind, a very, very soft, relaxed mood in the mind. So likewise, once we acquire many, many things, so it creates a huge burden. So we have to look after that, we have to maintain that, we have to pay the bills, pay the taxes, and do repairs and all that. Assume that you have so many things. So that's why in the monkhood, Buddha advised as appicchata. So have only the little things. And with that little, you have to have satisfaction. You have to be contented. So monks are not supposed to acquire so many things. In terms of the robes, so typical minimum standard is just you need to have 3 robes, that's it. So the under robe, outer robe and the double robe, that's all. So 3 robes basically, and maybe the ball and maybe your slippers or whatever, and then very, very few requisites. So with that you feel free to go wherever you want. There are not much to carry with you, and you don't need to worry that they're being stolen by someone, or you may be destroyed by the fire or something, because you have nothing basically. So there are such monks who maintain a very frugal life, where they have very minimum things. Only the essential things are there, not many things. Even Mahatma Jnanarama Sero, he had advice in the Yogashrama Act, have very little things. Don't even gather too many books. We used to gather so many books. But he say, okay, don't gather too many books, and that becomes a burden. Once you leave your kuti, you have to carry that. Or once you leave your kuti, you have to maintain that, because maybe the ants can destroy it, maybe the fire can destroy it, the moth or the humidity can destroy it. So you have to worry about it. You have to be responsible for that. So if you have so many things. But on the other hand, if you have only very few things, okay, little things are there. I am just maintaining that, taking care of that. And as a monk, we don't need to worry about the food. So someone is going to give some food, not to worry too much about the medicine. Okay, someone may provide medicine if we get sick. So likewise, the mentality is where you are navigating through the life without much burden. That's why monks are not supposed to gather so many things. and not allowed to cook their own food or to have their own, say, paddy field or whatever that create or plant whatever that needs. Instead, they have to ask from someone. In that sense, we are dependent on the generosity of someone else. Anyway, so acquired things are very, very less. So he has that little book COVID, Venerable COVID. So in his case, it's very beautifully mentioned. So he has only a countable number of requisites. I think 18 or 8 requisites, something like that. So if someone wants to offer him something, then he is telling, okay, I have only this. I have only, say, 15 requisites. If I have to acquire your thing, then I have to relinquish one thing from this list. I am keeping only 15. Now you want me to accept your gift. Then I have to relinquish. In this 15, I have to relinquish something. Then I have still maintained the 15. That's it. So that's a kind of a rule he has maintained, he's kind of a very strict character. By the way, I mean, even though we are not going to that kind of a level, but at least understanding, okay, too many things is a burden. I have to look after them, I have to maintain that, I have to safeguard it. So very, very difficult task. So Yoche, so therefore Buddha mentioned here, tasmahi janam upadinna kaira dukkassa jati pabhavanu passi. So therefore Buddha mentioned the wise person, purposely now he don't acquire things. If things are available, he may be maintaining that without much of an attachment, because he know that is the root cause of suffering. That is the genesis of suffering. Okay, we'll go to the next verse. Yantam apuccimha akittayino anyang tang pucchami tadinga bruhi kathannu dheera vitaranti ogham jati jarang soka paridda vancha tang me muni sadhu vyakarohi tatahite vidito esa dhammo. Very beautiful. I mean, these verses are really beautiful. Yantang apuccimha akittayino anyang tang pucchami tadinga bruhi kathannu dheera vitaranti ogham jati jarang soka paridda vancha tang me muni sadhu vyakarohi tatahite vidito esa dhammo. Maybe Dhamma Vijita can explain the English translation.
Okay, yes, Bhante. You have told us what you have told us what we asked. Let me ask you another. Please speak on this. How do the wise cross over the flood, over birth and old age, sorrow and lamenting? Explain this to me clearly, Muni, for this Dhamma has been understood by you.
Aishmat Mittugu mese pilivit api yamak vichalo nam e numbavahanse apata vadala seka anek karunakudu numbavahanse visin vicharami ekaanten e den vadala menava dhireyo kamaadi chaturvida ohgeyan jati jara shoka parideva dukat කෙසේ තරණය කෙරෙද්ද සරුවඤ්ඤ මුනි වූ මුඹ වහන්සේ අයදිමි එය මට විසඳා වදාළ මැනවි යම් හේකින් නුඹ වහන්සේ විසින් තෙල දහම සත්වයන් විසින් අවබෝධ කරනසේ පැනවීම වශයෙන් දන්නා ලදද එහෙයිනි.
Yeah, now he is asking another question. So basically he asked one question and there Buddha say the cause of suffering is the upadhi, acquisitions. Now he is asking another question. Anyantam pucchami tadinga bruhi katannu dhira vitaranti ogham. How the wise person going to cross the flood? So the flood is the jati jarang soka pariddavang. So all those are the floods. So the birth, decay, you are going to aging, you are suffering, the lamentation, worries. So how this wise person going to cross that? Please tell me that. So you are the one who knows that. Please tell me that. So this is the question asked by Mettagu as the next question. Now Buddha is answering. Kitta issami te dhammang ditte dhamme anitihang yang viditva sato charang tare loke visattikang. Kitta issami te dhammang ditte dhamme anitihang yang viditva sato charang තරේ ලෝකයේ විසත්තිකං. And let me go to the next one also because that's again the answer. Tanchahaṁ abhinandāmi mahesi dhamma muttamaṁ yang viditvā sato charaṁ tare loke visattikaṁ. Both verses you can, I think, connect. The whole answer is there.
I will proclaim this Dhamma to you. Seen in this very life, no matter of hearsay, having understood which, living mindfully, one can cross over attachment to the world. And I delight, great Rishi. So this is Metta-gu again. And I delight, great Rishi, in that supreme Dhamma.
Yes, no. Yeah, that's from the Metta-gu.
Hmm. Do you want me to read that one?
No need. Because it's not properly mentioned in the Pali thing. So I thought it's also the answer to the question. So the first one, only the answer. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so then again, that was, I will proclaim this Dhamma to you. Seen in this very life, no matter of hearsay, having understood which, living mindfully, one can cross over attachment to the world.
Right.
භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ මෙසේ වදාළහ. මෙත්තගු මානවකය ස්මෘතිමත්ව හැසිරෙනුයේ දක්නාලද දුක්ඛාදී ධර්මයේහි නොහොත් මේ අත්බැවිහිම ආත්ම ප්‍රත්‍යක්ෂ වූ යම් ධර්මයක් දැන ලොව විසත්තිකා සංඛාත තෘෂ්ණාව තරණය කෙරේ නම් ඒ නිර්වාණ ධර්මයත් නිර්වාණ ගාමිනී ප්‍රතිපද ධර්මයත් තොපට ප්‍රකාශ කරන්නෙමි.
යෝ නව බුද්ධ ඉස් ගිවින් දි ආන්සර් ලයික් දිත්තේ ධම්මේ අනීතිහං. සෝ ඉට් ඉස් නොට් සම්තිං හවු ටු සේ කයින්ඩ් ඔෆ් පර්ප්ලෙක්සිටි රාදර් යු ඇයි කැන් ටෙල් යූ ද කරෙක්ට් ආන්සර්. So Buddha is giving kind of a confirmation. And now he is telling what to do. Yang viditva sato charang. Tare loke visattikam. So you know certain dhamma. You got to know some certain dhamma. By knowing that, you have to mindfully move in this world. So that you are able to cross the visattika. That's the craving. So basically, the answer simply say, so you certainly develop certain amount of Dhamma, so that will help you to abandon certain amount of defilements temporarily. And now you are maintaining that. While maintaining that as much as possible, now you have to mindfully see, mindfully cross over, mindfully live, so that you are not going to bound by the craving, not going to have... trapped by the craving. So visattika is the term for tanha, craving, where he basically makes the attachment. So it's a kind of a tanha. So basically a desirous mentality in oneself. So that is the visattika. So it's another term for tanha. So now you have to recognize all these desires arising in your mind. So don't get trapped in them. Don't get deluded by them. Slowly abandon them. So in order to do that, you have to be mindful. Ever mindful. And so this is the method that I am going to tell you. Okay, now Venerable Metta-gu telling, Tanchahaṁ abhinandāmi mahesi dhamma muttamaṁ yang viditvā sato charaṁ tare loke visattikaṁ. Yeah, please.
And I delight, great Rishi, in the supreme Dhamma, having understood which, living mindfully, one can cross over attachment to the world.
Now he now anticipating to learn the Dhamma, because Buddha haven't yet teach the exact Dhamma, but he simply indicates the path that you need to know the Dhamma, now you have to practice Dhamma. By doing that, mindfully you have to live in this world so that you are not being fooled by the craving. Yeah, ask again.
Maharshin vahansa ismrutimatva hasirunuye yam dharmayak dana lohi visattikanam u trushnava tarane karanne nam mama mumbavahansege e dharmo deyotaka bhachitayada e uttama dharmayada patami.
Yeah, now he is expecting Buddha to teach further. So what is the dhamma? So what is this method? So what is the exact way that he has to follow so that he can continue this kind of a path? Now Buddha is explaining that. Yankinchi sampajanasi uddhang ado tiriyanchapi majji etesu nandincha nivesanancha panujja vinyanang bhave natitte evang vihari sato appamatto bhikkhu charang hitva mamayitani jatin jarang soka pariddavancha iddheva vidva pajaheya dukkham. So let me recite again the two verses. Yankinchi sampajanasi uddhang ado tiriyanchapi majje etesu nandincha nivesanancha panujja vinyanang bhave natitte evang vihari sato appamatto bhikkhu charang hitva mamayitani jatin jarang soka pariddavancha iddheva vidva pajahiya dukkham. So we'll see the translation.
Whatever you comprehend above, below, and across, in the middle, having dispelled delight and attachment to these, consciousness would not persist in existence. A bhikkhu so dwelling, mindful, heedful, having given up taking things as mine, right here, such a wise one might abandon suffering, birth and old age, sorrow and lamenting.
භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ මෙසේ වදාළහ. මෙත්තගූ මානවකය අනාගත කාලාදී උඩද අතීත කාලාදී යටද වර්තමාන කාලාදී මැද සරසද ඌ යම් කිසි ධර්ම ජාතයක් තෙපි ධනිය නම් තෙල ඌර්ධවාදී ධර්මයෙහි තෘෂ්ණාහා දෘෂ්ටි නිවේසනයේද අභිසංස්කාර විඥානයේද දුරුකරව දුරුකොට උභව භවයෙහි නොසිටින්නේ මෙසේ වසන සුළු ස්මෘතිමත් වූ අප්‍රමත්ත වූ මහන තෘෂ්ණා දෘෂ්ටි මායිතයන්
මමායිතයන්
තෘෂ්ණා දෘෂ්ටි මමායිතයන් හැරපියා හැසිරින්නේ විද්වත් වූයේ මේ සස්නෙහි ම නොහොත් මේ අත්භවහිම ජාතියද ජරාවද ශෝක පරිදේව දුකද දුරලන්නේයි.
So basically it's a very interesting answer Buddha giving there. Yankinchi sampajanasi uddhang ado tiriyanchapi majje etesu nandincha nivesanancha panujja vinyanam bhave natitte. So now while you are living, so you can know many things. Okay, while you are living, your eyes are open, so you can see things. While you are living, you can hear things. While you are living, you can smell things. While you are living, you can taste things. Go through the tangibles and you can recognize various thoughts. So this is how we are living as the human beings. And so, yankinji sampajanasi. So you got to know this. You have to be mindful in order to know all this. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, tangibles, fully aware, sampajanasi. Uddhang ado tiriyanchapi madde. Uddhang, whatever coming through the up, madje in the middle, adho is the bottom, tiriyanchapi madje, so the across the whole world, everywhere basically, in terms of everywhere. And now you are using your senses and you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, thoughts. Those are coming. Now once you know them, remember, etesu nandincha nivesanancha panujja vinyanam bhavena titte. And you should not have a kind of a delight in them, and your vinyana, your mind, have a kind of footing there, have a kind of a home there. Now say for example, you see a beautiful scenery, maybe a waterfall we'll take. And it's a beautiful waterfall. And now you go closer to it, you start taking a lot of photos about it, you go there, go very close. So you want to tell it to someone. Now you are living there. So your mind is fully attached to that. You are completely adhered to that. So your vijnana, the consciousness, is fully involved in that. So that is how the typically people do when they see something beautiful. They approaching it, they want to take photographs of it. And they want to inform others, they want to put it to their Facebook or this thing, that thing. So they are fully adhered to it. They start acquiring it. So don't do that. Basically, don't have a kind of a delight in that. So basically, the other way we can simply say, you have to maintain ditte ditta matta. Seeing is mere seeing. Seeing is a mere seeing. Hearing is a mere hearing. Smelling, tasting, touching is mere kind of a sensing. Thought came and it has gone. Just mere cognition, that's it. So your mind unattached, unmoved. So the answer, the advice Buddha giving here, so whatever the way, all that you go through various experiences, so don't allow your vijnana to establish. Evam vihari sato appamatto. Now you have to live like this, mindfully, heedfully. Charang hitva mamaitani. And you have to abandon all eye-making, mind-making acquisitions that we first discussed. So you don't, you whenever you go through all these different kinds of experiences, don't have any mamaita. Mamaita means thinking that, oh, this is myself, this is my I am, so this belongs to me, this is my, that thing. So if you are creating any kind of a self, then you are, you know, defeated. Jatin jaran soka paridda vancha idheva vidva pajahiya dukkha. And while doing that, now while being in this very life, you are able to abandon jati jara soka pariddava. That means arising, or rather birth, decay, worries and lamentations. In this very life, idheva, here itself. Pajahiya dukkhang, now you are abandoned in the suffering. So basically the point is, now you have to be mindful. While being mindful, you may be going through various different experiences through your senses. What you are experiencing may be beautiful, but you have to be mindful so that your mind is not attached to that and being established there. Instead, your mind has to be kind of not mixing with it. Maintaining a mind without mixing of any of these experiences. Can you do that? Sure, yes, please, yes.
No, I can't do that, Bhante.
You should.
that's the way we are, that's the way our whole society is. You know, we're always looking for some enjoyment and
we are delighted there, then and there.
Yes, something delightful and fun. And but I also thought of a thing that I heard one time, and this is from Buddhism, from somewhere. I remember somebody saying, don't ever be surprised. Because like if you ever notice that you're like, oh my gosh, did you see that? It's almost like, what it is, I think, is that we have an idea about the way things should be.
Kind of preferences?
Yeah, preferences or just when we see like...
something beautiful.
I don't know. Like, I can't think of an example, but we're used to things being a certain way. Mm. So when we see something happen out of the ordinary, we seem surprised. We're surprised. But correct. That shows that we have a preconditioned idea of how things should be.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
but typically things are not the way I want. But sometimes, occasionally, if things happen in that way, then you are delighted.
Yes, and so anytime we have like delight arise or surprise or like anger or something, we can like ask, I wonder why am I surprised or why am I so delighted or angry or something.
Yeah. So basically the advice is, so you lesser the delight, lesser the surprises, lesser your astonishment. That means you are simply maintaining an equanimous mind. Either good, either bad, things are happening, desirable or not desirable things are happening, but you are maintaining, you are navigating yourself equanimously. You are not extremely uplifted, you are not elated, and you are not depressed, you are in the middle, very much like, equanimity.
Thank you, Swami Nansa, for your teaching. You're hitting everything to the personal... the way we experience this. So
yeah, I mean, definitely we have to use this to further develop ourselves. We almost came to the end of the discussion, so if you have more questions, so we can ask others also to get involved. Anything coming from outside?
Ashray Bhante, not at the moment.
Okay, good. So
just now I got one. Joseph has raised his hand.
Participate, yeah. Please. Yes.
Yeah, Joseph, you can talk now.
Thank you. Hello, Bhante.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you very much for the Dhamma talk and for the theme of the past few weeks. I was thinking with this eye making, that sound I've been paying attention to is whenever I hear I am, like I am supposed to be doing this, I should be doing that. And then another version was, what am I doing? What am I doing sitting here? Why am I here? And then I started to notice that as the I making, anytime that I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And also with he or she or they, why did he do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why did she say that? Why are they thinking that? And that also whenever it's not just the I, but whenever any of the pronouns, whenever the other, that also is an I making.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to mention that and ask you what you thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
In the meditation. Thank you.
Yeah, good. So basically, I can agree with you. So when I'm strongly referring, okay, why is he here? So maybe a little sense of I is there. Even though I am simply telling something about someone else, but I am considering his appearance or his presence with respect to my presence. Suppose that you are going to an interview. You didn't expect someone that you don't want to be there, but he's also there. Oh my goodness, he's also here. So then, you are being little have an influence from his presence, and then you are simply asking, oh, why is he's also here? So only myself has to be there.
It's the conceit, isn't
conceit,
it? As soon as there's
conceit.
The other,
so, yeah.
It makes me.
Yeah.
Because I am, because he is. If he's
yeah,
there,
he's,
I am.
Yeah, exactly. So our whole vocabulary, our grammar is created like that. So basically, it's a I-centered, self-centered way that the grammar is prepared. So I is the center. So in front of me, that is you. So away from me, that is he or she. So the me mm-hmm. is the center. Myself is the center. So this is how we measure. So I am in the middle. I am in the center. So in front of this, very close by, then you, he and you, yourself. But very far away, he and she and they, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I am here. So this is the mula. This is the very origin of whole thinking, whole manjana. So as you said, there may be a very subtle eye making, even though it is not directly telling, okay, I am there, why he is here or something like that. But even that statements can indicate certain amount of self-centered way of measuring things. With respect to myself, I am measuring someone else. Measurement is there, mana is there, conceit is there.
I noticed mostly what I'm able to really reflect deeply on this is only when I'm sitting in the meditation. Otherwise, I feel that I'm sort of rereading the text and I'm kind of maybe intellectually grappling with it, but I'm not necessarily having, I'm not really experiencing it. But in the meditation, what I've been, trying to apply it is I notice maybe, I'm mostly in a very equanimous state. I'm enjoying the feeling. I'm trying to be aware that there's no ill will, there's no sleepiness, there's no defilements, and just appreciating the overall feeling.
Correct.
That is there, which is neither really pleasant or unpleasant, and then noticing when thought comes up that there's a difference between just the thoughts which sort of seem to pop up and then the thinking about the thoughts.
Correct.
And then those trying to not think about the thoughts as much as possible, making that the sort of practice. And as those thoughts come up, sort of as much as possible to label it, is that a desire? Is that I making? And just that I started to recognize that it's not just the thought with me, but the thought with he or she, I'm also labeling I make.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was something that I wouldn't have done before if I hadn't heard your talk in this particular sutta. So I want to thank you for that.
Yeah. So basically that thoughts can happen, but if we have a special interest to that, so I mean, we may not be able to completely stop thoughts. Maybe time to time certain thoughts can happen, but we need to be a little careful. Are we going to too much involved with it? So are we too interested about it? Are we surprised about it? Or are we simply maintaining kind of equanimous attitude towards about it? So that's here Buddha mentioned, etesu nandincha nivesanancha. So nandi is the delight. Nivesana means that now I am residing there. I have gone there. I have become that. So that means kind of a delight is there, certain amount of interest is there, and you have lost that typical, simple, ordinary, the equanimity. Rather, mind has uplifted. Mind has shown its certain interest. So that we need to notice. That we need to notice, okay, is there any kind of a jerk in the mind? Is there any ripple in the mind? Or was it able to maintain that typical, equanimous, simple, ordinary state, even though I am going through certain experience? So something like that.
I find that it often is a delight. It's more, and then I label that as the rapture. I feel,
exactly.
the waves, the sort of like the trickling feeling.
Yeah.
And for me, I've come to associate when that happens that it was true. So whatever I thought was true, and the ability that was correct for me is when the relaxation happens, because it feels like it's a letting go of a hatred, or it's letting go of a greed, or it's a sort of letting go, and that results in the piti, and I'm making that association. But I can see that it's more complicated than that, and it's a very subtle, it's very, very difficult to not get involved, as you're pointing out. I can see how subtle this is. It's very, there's just more to do. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good. So I think we have spent almost 1 hour. You have, Asma, you have something to tell? Yeah.
So Asura here, it mentioned that I delight. So delight in the sense here is we will be delight by seeing no hearing, no happening above our expectations. I think about the expectations. So we expect in day-to-day life also, in this time this should be happened, and in the evening time this should be happened, something like that.
Mm.
So behind this expectation, there is a big ego is there, no? Something something happening without our expectations. So we can see how the myself and other egos are creating, and so these things can be.
Yeah. Maybe, I mean, when our expectations are met, delight can happen. On the other hand, when our expectations are not met, again it's not a delight. Maybe hate can happen, because I have expected a certain way, but he hadn't done that, so I hate it. So the opposite side can happen. So the point is, so we are no more in the comfort zone. We are no more in the equanimous middle straight line. We have shifted either to the top or either to the bottom. When the expectations are met 100% or even more than that, so I am surprised. Oh, I didn't expect even that. What a great way that you have done that. Delighted, uplifted. On the other hand, I want him to do that. He forgot it. Oh my, what the hell he has done that. Oh, he forgot it today also. Blah, blah, blah. Now I am on the other side. So if I am quickly come back, return back to the middle, okay, don't worry, just come back. So that's the resilience. That's why Buddha again and again highlight in the Indriya Bhavana Sutta, come back to the middle. Middle is quite ordinary. Middle is very simple. Middle is very equanimous, calm, relaxed. Relax. Yeah.
Swaminanda, is this, so that's the end of the Buddha's answers, and the rest of it is just Metta-gu speaking about the Buddha and wanting to follow the path and so forth. So I don't know. So I just wanted to make sure I think
few more things are there. The last two verses are also
yes.
Buddha's verses, by the way.
Oh, the Buddha says some more?
Yeah.
I don't think so. We finished, it said, a bhikkhu so dwelling mindful, heedful, having given up, taking things as mine right here, such a wise one might abandon suffering, birth, and old age, sorrow, and lamenting.
Mm.
And then Metagu says, I delight
no,
in...
No, not that still we didn't do.
We didn't do, I delight in this word.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and from there on, it's just Metagu speaking in this.
Two more Buddha's words are there. Last two.
The last two. And this wise man here, the Veda master, having loosened this tie to various states of existence, rid of craving and troubled wishless.
According to.
Oh, okay. This. So that does sound like the Buddha is speaking there. Okay. Did you want to start with next week?
Maybe. I don't know. We can complete it then so that we are done.
Okay.
So then Buddha, again, the Metagu is asking, Eta bhinandami macho mahesino sukittitang sukittitang gotama nupadikam addahi bhagava pahasi dukkham tatahite vidito esa dhammo te chapino na pajaheyo dukkham yetvang muni attitang ova deya tantang namassami samiccha naga appeva mam bhagava attitang ova deya. Let me recite again. Ethabhinandami macho mahesino sukittitang gotama anupadikang. Addahi bhagava pahasi dukkhang tatahite vidito esa dhammo. Techapinu na pajaheyu dukkhang yetvang muni attitang ova deya. Tangtang namassami samiccha naga appeva mam bhagava attitang ova deya. So you can recite the translation.
How many verses
two,
were
two? I two. Just mentioned okay. two.
I delight in this word of the great Rishi. Well proclaimed, Gotama is the state without acquisition. Certainly the Blessed One has abandoned suffering, for this Dhamma has been understood by you. Surely they too can abandon suffering, whom you, Muni, would constantly exhort. Therefore, having met you, O Naga, I pay homage. Perhaps the Blessed One would constantly exhort me.
Aishmat Mittagu, Mese Vicharai, Maharshiti U, Nubavahanse Ge Tela Vachane, Satutin, Piliganimi, Gautamean Vahanse, Mubavahanse Visin, Nirupadi U, Nirvane, Monavata Prakatakaranalada, Bhagyavatun Vahanse, Ekantenma, Varta Dukkaya, Dureluhuda, එහෙයින්ම නුඹ වහන්සේ විසින් තෙල දහම දන්නා ලද මුනි උන් මුඹ වහන්සේ යමෙකුන්ට සකසා ඕවා දෙන සේක්ද ඔහුදු ඒකාන්තයෙන් දුක් දුරලන්නාහයි හඟිමි බුද්ධ නාගයන් වහන්ස එහෙයින් වෙත පැමිණ මුඹ වහන්සේ නමදිමි භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ මට එක්වන් අවවාද කරන සේක් නම් මැනව.
Yeah, now Metagu is happy about the Buddha's teaching, his advices. He simply say the Buddha as the Anupadika. Anupadika means no upadis. The one who abandoned the upadis. Addahai Bhagava Pahasi Dukang, and I am sure that you have abandoned all the suffering. And so you have known the Dhamma. And so please advise me. So you are basically continuously advising as well. So please consider me also someone who needs advices from you. Tantang namassami samiccha naga appeva mang bhagava attitang ova deya. So let me be with you so that I am getting further advices. And then Buddha, in the last two verses, yam brahmanang vedagung abhijanya akinchanang kama bhave asattang addahi so oga mimang atari tinne tinno cha parang akilo akhanko vidvacha so vedagu naro idha bhava bhave sanga mimang visajj so vitatanho anigho niraso atari so jati jaranti brumiti.
whatever Brahman you may know to be a Veda master, owning nothing, unattached to sensual pleasures and existence, he has certainly crossed this flood and crossed to the beyond. He is unbarren, rid of doubt. And the wise men here, the Veda master, having loosened this tie to various states of existence, rid of craving, untroubled, wishless, has crossed over birth and old age, I say.
බුදුහු මෙසේ වදාළහ මෙත්ත වූ මානවකය තෝ බාහිත පාප බ්‍රාහ්මණ වූ යමෙක්කු සිව්මග නැඩින් නිවනට පැමිණියකු කොට රාගාදී කිංචන රහිතයකු කොට කාමෙහිදු භවෙහිදු නොඇලුණුකු කොට දනිහි නම් ඒකාන්තයෙන් හේ කාමාදී වූ මේ චතුරෝගය තරණය කළේය. ඕග තරණ කළ රාගාදී කිල රහිත වූ දුක්ඛාදීෙහි කාං ක්ෂා රහිත වූ හේ නිර්වාණ පාරයට ගියේයි. තවද මේ සස්නෙහි මේ අත්බැවි හෝ යම් පුද්ගලයෙක් විද්වත් වූ ඥානවේදයෙන් නිවනට පත් වූයේ කුදුමහත් භවයෙහි රාගාදී වූ සංඝයා දුරලා සිටියේද විගත තෘෂ්ණා ඇති හේ උපද්‍රව නැතියේ ආශා රහිත වූයේය. හේ ජාති ජරා මරණ තරණය කෙලේ යයි කියමි.
So basically now Buddha simply says, yam brahmanam vedagun, the brahmin who know about the whole Vedas, who are a knowledgeable person and who has seen his true direct knowledge, and akinchanam kama bhave asattam, so he has no acquisitions, he has nothing basically, akinchanam, and kama bhave asattam, in this whole sensual world he is not attached to, he is not having any kind of bond, asattang, addahiso ogamimang atari. So definitely he has crossed the ogha, the flood. Tinno, so he has crossed. Parang akilo akhanku, and he has no doubts, and he has crossed to the other shore. Vidvaso vedagu naro idha, bhava bhave sangamimang visaj. And so he is a knowledgeable one who has known all the Vedas, and bhava bhave sangamimang visajya. So, in this whole world, he has no any kind of an attachment. Sangha means, I think, the kilesa. Sangha kila kena means kilesa. So, vita tanho, there is no craving, anigo, there is no trouble, untroubled, niraso, there is no desires. Atariso jati jarante brumiti. So, I proclaim, he has completely relinquished birth, decay, and he has crossed to the other shore. So basically Buddha summarized that about the Arahant. So this basically about the Arahant. So he has nothing, he has no acquisitions, and in this whole world he has no desire, and he has completely cut off the craving with the tanho, and completely untroubled, he has no stress, no agitation in the mind, and no desires in the mind. So he is basically the Arahant. He summarizes the whole thing as telling few qualities about the Arahant. Okay, I think then with that we'll conclude that sutta, Mettagu Sutta. The third or fourth person coming to ask the questions. And then I'll ask Venerable Dham Vijitha to conduct the sharing of merits.
Excuse me, Swaminansa. Whatever merits we have accumulated through the teaching today and participation in the teaching, and thank you, Swaminansa, for teaching. And we'd like to give those merits to all beings, and we'll recite the traditional verses for that, for the Pali.